Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down.
Our guest this week grew up in Lonstant, Illinois, and earned a bachelor's degree and master's degree in evangelization and church planting from Lincoln Christian University. From 1999 to 2006, he helped launch several campus ministries at various universities. And since 2022, he's been the CEO of Alpha USA. Alpha is a safe place to ask spiritual questions and explore the Christian faith. The author of the Coaching Guidebook, a practical guide to coaching ministry leaders, his name, John Wentz. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to John Wentz, the CEO of Alpha USA. John, welcome, and honored to have you.
Thank you, and I'm honored to be here.
Can we start by you offering an opening prayer this evening?
I would love to do that. Heavenly Father, we just pause to ask that you would come and make us more aware of your presence. We pray that you would come and encourage each and every one of us. And we pray that as we turn our hearts and our minds towards the things of your kingdom, you would help us to see in fresh ways what you're doing in the world. And ultimately, that you would come and guide us so that we might be faithful to you in everything that we do, so that we can see your kingdom come and your will be done. And we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, John. Let's go and start with your childhood and your mom and your dad and growing up in Lonstant, Illinois.
Sure. Well, I think probably the standout detail is my dad was an iron worker. And he got tennis elbow and took his insurance settlement money, and he built a root beer stand. And we hit the road selling root beer and then funnel cakes in the carnival. And so every summer from Memorial Day to Labor Day, our family traveled around selling food and in carnivals and local festivals. And that was an interesting life. You know, Lonstant, Illinois is a small town, about 450 people. Very rural. We actually lived on a farm outside of that megalopolis, and then we would head up to Chicago and the surrounding areas and you know, work throughout the suburbs and in the city. And so it was a great, you know, experience between, you know, the big city and then the small town farm life. But my family didn't have, you know, really a sense of a rhythm of faith. They had grown up Catholic, both my parents, but had some negative life experiences and then through some challenge, stepped away from their faith. And so I grew up just working, you know, and the golden rule for my family was just treat others the way that you want to be treated. And that was life growing up in the middle of Illinois and living life in the carnival.
Please tell me you still love root beer and funnel cakes.
I do absolutely love root beer and funnel cakes. So.
Okay. All right. 1999, how was it you became a salesman for God?
Well, it was actually at a Catholic retreat my senior year of high school. It would have been 1995. There was a French foreign exchange student in my Spanish class who invited me to go on a Catholic retreat. And at the time, it was perfect for me because I needed stuff for my college scholarship applications for religious activities, and I had no religious activities. So I said, sure, I'll go on this retreat. And I went on this Catholic retreat in a little corn town called Mendota, Illinois, out in the country, this little Catholic church. And it was at that retreat that there was a guy who was a small group leader for me and this group of guys that I was with. And I was actually getting ready to leave after the first night of the retreat because it was a confess your sins to the priest experience, and I wanted to have nothing to do with that. I wasn't Catholic. And on my way out of this little church, he grabbed my, you know, arm and said, hey, where are you going? And I began to explain to him how I thought all Christians were, just phony, and I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And then he asked me a question that would change my life. He said, "I'm just curious, John, what issues do you have with Jesus?" And very quickly in that moment, I realized I had a lot of problems with Christians. I had problems with what I perceived the church to be, but I couldn't have articulated five details about who Jesus was. And, he was such an encouraging, patient person for me. He encouraged me to stick around the rest of the retreat. He gave me a New Testament Bible, and I remember reading some of the very first stories that I'd ever read in the Bible, from Matthew, about loving your neighbor, and just the basics from the Sermon on the Mount. And very quickly, I just fell in love with the person of Jesus. And I began to think, if everybody in the world would just follow and do what this guy Jesus says, the world would be such a better place. And so I fell in love with Jesus, and that really was the beginning of my journey in following Jesus. And then shortly thereafter, it was the summer after, in 1996, I was at a Cornerstone Music Festival, and there was a guy from Youth with a Mission, YWAM, who was speaking on stage, and he invited people to come and get this book that he was giving out. And the title of the book was called One Way, God's Way. I've never found this book. I've tried to track this book down ever since that experience, and I haven't landed a copy. So if anybody's listening and they know how to get me a copy of that, I'd really appreciate it. But I grabbed this book, and the next week I was selling funnel cakes in a little town called Sandwich, Illinois. And I pulled this book out, and business was slow. And by page 16, I knew God, I just sensed this pressure on me. And the book, One Way, God's Way, described how there are billions of people all over the planet who will have no opportunity to meet Jesus unless someone goes to them. And I just, for whatever reason, reflecting on my own life, even growing up in the Midwest, very few people had ever, told me about Jesus. And I'd been told I was going to hell many times, but nobody ever told me about the love of Jesus. And I just, my heart began to break. And I really sensed that God was saying to me, "You're going to spend the rest of your life helping people come to know me."
We're talking to John Wentz. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the chapter in his life where he helped launch several campus ministries at various universities. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul, and we're with John Wentz. John, from 1999 to 2006, you helped launch several campus ministries at various universities. Talk about that chapter, please.
Yeah, well, I had just finished up college where I'd gotten a degree in evangelism and church planting, had begun a seminary degree on church history, and I had come to faith just recently, the couple of years before that. And so I remember talking with somebody about one of the best ways that we could help people all over the world come to know Jesus. And they said it would be campus ministry. And I thought, well, why? And they said, because you have so many international students coming from all over the world to study in our universities. And I think at the time, the percentage was something that 89 to 90% of all international students would never see the inside of an American home. They come, they study in our university, they return home to their countries, they become leaders in their respective fields. And if they could have a genuine experience of, Christianity or Jesus during their time here at university, this could be one of the most practical ways that we could do global evangelism, and because we already have all these people coming to our universities. So I very quickly saw the practicality of that and loved working with college students. So We started a campus ministry at the University of Cincinnati, and we had lived at the time right across the street from the University of Cincinnati, and we're a part of a new church called University Christian Church, and you know, we were working really to serve. Our congregation at the time was about 70% college students. Many of them were a part of other campus ministries. And so we were a church that served those other campus ministries. And then there was a couple of students that came to me and said, hey, we'd love to do a Bible study in our fraternity. Would you come and help us do this Bible study? So I went, and we went to this fraternity party, and they gathered the entire party. Everything came to a quiet moment, and they said, hey, we're going to do a Bible study, and this guy's going to lead it. And so tell us about this Bible study. And there was one thing that I wanted to do. I threw out the question, you know, if it turned out there was a God and you could ask anything, what would you ask? And one by one, all these guys from across the fraternity started throwing out questions. I wrote them all down. And I said, this is going to be the curriculum for our Bible study. So if you're interested, come on back. And, you know, we had a group of 25 guys from that fraternity that were so interested in that. It turns out that that's actually the first question on the Alpha course, and I didn't even know about the Alpha course at the time. And we started this Bible study, and out of that Bible study grew a campus ministry at the University of Cincinnati that by the time I left, we had 200 students showing up every week, and it was absolutely phenomenal. We had over a dozen students during a four-year period of time decided to go into full-time ministry. Some were serving in different parts of the world as missionaries, medical missionaries. We had a few that became pastors. So it was an incredibly fruitful time, and it was an exciting period to be able to work with young leaders, and such fun to watch them now grow and flourish in their respective contexts.
Okay, from 2006 to 2015, you were the small group director at Community Christian Church, where you helped form 14 other locations across Chicago. Talk about that chapter.
Yeah, well, we moved back from Cincinnati to Illinois. During that time, we had three young kids, and my wife was serving in children's ministry. We began serving at a church called Community Christian Church in Naperville, Illinois. And they had a vision to plant and reproduce campuses, different church locations all across Chicagoland. They also had a pretty extensive church planting network where they were helping to influence lots of churches. And while I took that role, what attracted me to it was this idea that our small group Bible studies are great for the people that are in them, but could they be mobilized to bless their community in some way, not just through service projects, but engaging people and really beginning to view each of those small groups as missional communities. And I thought that was an interesting idea. I loved the challenge of it. And so we had around 300 different groups that we were working with. And one of the things that we began doing was Alpha. And Alpha is an opportunity for people to come and explore the Christian faith over a meal, watch a short talk or a video, and then they have open discussion where they can ask anything, share their perspectives, and wrestle with the big questions of life. And as we began to do Alpha in our groups and invite people from the community who had really no background of faith or experience of church, we began to see God show up and just do beautiful things as people were given space to ask anything that they wanted. And they talked themselves into the faith. And through the simple acts of hospitality and listening, we began to watch as the people who were hosting the Alpha really began to develop into beautiful communities. And I saw how Alpha actually creates an incredible missional opportunity for really any context. We had Alphas that started running in local prisons and jails. We had Alphas that would run in homes. We had Alphas that would run in restaurants. My son even did a youth version of Alpha with his cross-country team during his sophomore year. And in our basement, the entire cross-country team would come over every Sunday afternoon, and all of these guys would be exploring faith, asking questions, and so many of them just had really genuine opportunities to explore faith, and several became Christians, and it was an exciting time. And in 2015, I got a chance to go to London, where I saw where Alpha had begun at Holy Trinity Church, which is a Church of England church. And I was blown away as I saw, you know, 900 young people, you know, average age 24, lining up down an alley to go to this church and explore faith. And I thought then, there is hope for the church, and they're onto something. And what I've seen here in our context, what I've seen in London, I know that there's a new way forward. So it was an incredibly paradigm-shifting time for me.
We're talking to John Wentz. If you want to learn more, www.alphausa.org. When we come back, we're going to ask him about going to London and meeting a man named Nicky Gumbel. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with John Wentz, the CEO of Alpha USA. 20 million people globally and 7 million in the U.S. alone have gone through the Alpha program. John, it was started 1979 by Nicky Gumbel. Tell us about Nicky.
Yeah, Nicky Gumbel is an incredible leader based out of London. Similar story where he grew up really as an atheist, and had a profound encounter through reading the Bible, where he encountered Jesus, and shortly thereafter felt a calling to ministry himself. So he was a lawyer or a barrister, as they're often called across London, and very quickly, as he began to enter into ministry, began to see God show up and do some pretty incredible things. And now globally, you know, Nicky's influence through the Alpha Course has reached over 30 million people globally, and continues to grow. And Nicky's regarded as really a champion for evangelism and also unity within the church across denominations.
All right. You say that there's 10 weeks, 14 sessions where people come together, and they always share a meal. John, why a meal?
Well, you know, meals are interesting. It's because that's at the core of what it means to be human. We gather together around meals. Families gather around meals. And when you sit down with someone across a meal, it brings you back to a similar place of commonality. And, you know, the word hospitality in the Greek is an interesting word. It's philoxenos. And the word philo is the word for love, friendship. And xenos is the word for stranger. So when you put these two words together, philoxenos, the act of hospitality literally means to love the stranger. And whenever we sit down across a table and share a meal with someone, it's really an opportunity to recognize each other's humanity, and that we have a lot more in common than we may recognize. And so it's amazing when we're able to do that, invite people from any background and come together and share a meal. We find that we have a lot in common, actually.
All right. You mentioned that there's 14 sessions. If we could focus on a couple.
Yeah.
Session number one. John Wentz, who is Jesus?
Yeah. Well, Jesus is this incredible person who has changed the face of the planet over the course of the last 2,000 years. He's regarded as an incredible teacher in multiple religions, Islam, Christianity, you know, and other scholars of other different faith traditions or worldviews would all recognize that society, Western civilization has been shaped, ethics has been shaped by the teachings of Jesus. So Jesus was Jewish originally. Jesus, you know, claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be able to forgive people's sins and to give people a fresh start. And he also claimed, you know, just and demonstrated through his incredible acts and miracles and healings, his love for humanity. And then ultimately demonstrated the greatest love of all, where he, you know, went to the cross willingly, took our sin upon himself, died a sinner's death, and then 3 days later resurrected from the dead and came back to life, showed himself to his disciples and to many other people, and, you know, then said for those who follow him, they would have the same hope that they too would no longer die forever, but have the ability to, you know, resurrect and come back to life. And so that's Jesus.
I believe also when he was with those disciples in those 40 days, he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. John.
That's right.
Who is the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, well, the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit we often refer to. But the Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. He's our advocate. He's the indwelling presence of God that's promised to those who follow Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is really, in my personal opinion, one of the most exciting elements of my Christian faith. And we have the ability to interact with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's through the interaction of this Spirit. And the Spirit also helps us to become more like Jesus. And through his indwelling in our lives, we develop what's called the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit that unifies the church and empowers believers. And so it's a lot of fun to grow in an understanding and in a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit.
If there's a listener that says, Mr. Wentz, how can I be filled with this Holy Spirit? What would you say?
Oh, it's as simple as asking. You know, the Bible describes in Ephesians, you know, Paul commands us to go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, this is an experience that's available to all Christians, and all Christians have the Holy Spirit. If we claim Jesus as Lord, we have the Holy Spirit in our life. And I like Nikki Gumbel's description, actually, of the difference between just having the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Spirit. He uses a metaphor of a furnace and how furnaces, you know, or a water heater would have a pilot light that's lit. The flame is there. But then being filled with the Spirit is a lot like when the temperature gets turned up and the gas blows in and it ignites and there's this whoosh of power that comes. And when we pray, or when we pray for one another to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the power of God comes into our life in a greater measure. And, you know, I think through our life circumstances, through our ministry to other people, we tend to leak the Spirit, leaks out of us or is poured out of us. And we're commanded in Scripture to go on being filled. And so through prayer, through spending time with God, abiding in God's presence, we are then refilled with the Spirit of God.
We're talking to John Wentz. If you want to learn more, www.alphausa.org. Alpha is a course that's become a worldwide phenomenon and is now held in 169 countries. It's estimated that nearly 20 million people worldwide have attended an Alpha course. It's comprised of 14 sessions held over 10 weeks and is free and open to everyone. John, a listener says, this is great. I've got good intentions, but I'm not that good at resisting evil, which is everywhere today. Mr. Wentz, what would you say to that person?
Yeah, well, they are not alone. Resisting evil is nothing new. It's certainly common to every single person. It's part of what makes us human. You know, there is an acknowledgement that there even is evil is a very good step, I think, towards resisting it. When you can see it, when you can acknowledge it, that's the first step. But, you know, every day I think Jesus has promised us that he would be with us and that our worth and our value is actually not bound up in how well we're able to resist evil, but how well we're able to hold on to him and to trust him for our salvation, to trust him for our righteousness. And our righteousness ultimately is found in Christ. It's not found in how good of a person we are, because if that were the case, none of us would measure up. So if a person is really wrestling or struggling with sin, I would say that's actually the point. The struggle is the point. You know, the moment you stop struggling to deal with sin probably means maybe we've begun to see it less, or to stop recognizing it within ourselves. But the struggle should be an encouragement that we're on the right path. We like to do away with struggle out of our lives altogether, but you know, good things come when we struggle. And so I would just encourage you to keep going and to keep your eyes focused on Christ, who is our righteousness.
We're talking to John Wentz. If you want to learn more, www.alphausa.org. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WGR.
Jack Crisula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to John Wentz, the CEO of Alpha USA. John, session 12. Does God heal today?
Yes, he does. and sometimes he doesn't. This is a session on Alpha that I think is very personal to many, many people. And the question of, why does God allow suffering in our lives? If God can intervene, if God can do anything, then why doesn't he? Are often where we're able to let people explore those questions. But it's a session of real vulnerability, because we either ourselves have dealt with illness or disease or, you know, different things in our lives, different struggles, or we know somebody who has, or maybe we've even lost somebody who we've prayed for many years and did not experience God's healing in our lives. And, you know, this is one of the reasons why so many people just keep God at arm's length. It's because of the hurt, the pain, the disillusionment that comes from losing someone, or from the disappointment of maybe praying for someone to be healed and they weren't healed. And when we're able to explore that, and really explore that pain a bit, we also see that that's not the entire story. Is, you know, the reality that maybe we pray and God never answers. God does actually answer prayers for healing. And oftentimes we don't hear those stories. And when we're given an opportunity to recognize that prayer for healing is something that we are commanded to do, and we should begin to trust God, people's faith really does grow. And I think of a quote that I heard from Holy Trinity Brompton, where Sandy Miller, who was the predecessor to Nikki Gumbel, said, you know, there was a time in our church where we never prayed for people to be healed, and nobody got healed. And then we began to pray for healing, and we began to pray for everybody to be healed, and some people got healed. And that's a way better percentage, and we don't want to go back to the previous. So, you know, sometimes God does heal. It's a mystery. It is up to God. But it's a beautiful thing when we're able to, one, acknowledge the pain that comes from unanswered prayer and acknowledge that sometimes people and ourselves and other loved ones aren't healed. But there are times when God does choose to heal and miraculously intervene in people's lives. I've seen it happen on the Alpha Course. I've seen it happen outside of the Alpha Course. And I remember the first time praying for someone at an Alpha Course weekend where we had done this talk. And there was a girl who'd been in a car accident 8 months earlier. And she said, every day I have migraine headaches, and they usually come on in the afternoon. And she said, I can feel my headache starting to come on right now, actually, and it's pretty bad. Would you all pray for me? And in that moment, my hands got really warm, and I just sensed that I needed to put my hands near her head. And as I did, it felt like there was heat coming out of my hands in like onto her head. And I really sensed God was doing something. And I just told the group, I said, hey, I think we should just give prayers of gratitude and thanks to God. So just fill in the blank, God, we're thankful for whatever. And we did that. And she just began to weep and cry. She turned around and she looked at me and she said, what are you putting on my head? And I said, I can feel heat coming out of my hands onto your head. She said, it feels like something is literally melting off of my head. And she said her headache had gone away. She stood up, she shook her head around, and she was just giddy with joy. And everybody in our group looked around at each other like, whoa, like, is this really happening? Well, the rest of the day, no headache. The next day, no headache. We checked in with her the next week after. She hadn't had a headache since. And then even 3 months later, she began to come back and serve on the next Alpha team. She had not had a headache ever since that moment. God stepped in and in his kindness healed her on the spot. And when I saw that, I thought, okay, it is possible. God can heal. And then we began to pray for other people to be healed. And I began to see that God does in fact heal people more often than I gave him credit for. And then my faith moved from saying that this was possible to this is probable, that the more often we pray, if we will believe, God does show up. Now, it's not 100%. There are times when God's not healed. The whole point is that people would encounter God's loving presence and that we give people an opportunity to be ministered to in that way. But what a gift when someone can come before God in a vulnerable state of pain and experience the loving presence of God in healing. It's absolutely beautiful.
We're talking to John Wentz, www.alphausa.org. All right, the name of the show is With God, Anything is Possible. 20 million people worldwide have gone through the program, 7 million in America. And the majority of them are kids in their 20s. That's impossible today. What's the magic? Priests and pastors and ministers would say, well, what do you feed them? How do you do it? How do you explain it?
Well, I think so many people really want to have conversations that matter around faith and spirituality, but they just don't know how to do it in a way that's not weird or judgmental or awkward. And so whenever I tell people about Alpha and I say, yeah, there's an opportunity to come together, have a meal, you can ask anything, you know, you can share your perspective, people light up almost without, any hesitation. They say, I'd love to be a part of an experience like that. Because people are longing to be seen, people are longing to be heard, and when they're given space to be seen and heard, and they can share their perspectives, they can wonder, they can be wrong, they can hear the perspectives of other people, and they're not going to be judged for their opinions, they absolutely love that. And once people have that opportunity to open up and be vulnerable with one another, they really do wind up opening their heart and recognizing that there's more to life than what they've been experiencing. And in an opportunity like that, around a meal with other people, where they can really think through, give thought to why or why they don't believe in an unhurried space, they go home, they spend a week, they can do their own research. You know, people really are given an opportunity to genuinely explore. They're not forced into a corner. And I think people really want to have an experience like that. And especially nowadays in our increasingly polarized, environment where it's hard to hold space for people that are different than us, something like Alpha is incredibly appealing, especially to our younger generation. Our younger generation, Generation Z, they're often referred to as the open generation. It should be incredibly hopeful to us that our young people are more open to exploring faith than we've seen in 100 years. And so with Youth Alpha, we've got a brand new series coming out this fall. It'll give students an opportunity to explore faith together in really dynamic, exciting ways.
Speaking of a new opportunity, if there's a listener that says, I travel all the time for work, so I can't commit to doing something every Tuesday night for 10 weeks. Is there an online version?
There certainly is. Alpha, at its core, is meant to be an experience that you do with other people because you need to hear the perspectives of other people and see how they're growing in their faith as well. And so even using Zoom, during the pandemic, we were blown away how easy Alpha was to experience with other people just by watching the video over Zoom and having, video conference discussions. And I've been a part of a Zoom, actually, that was based out of Malaysia. And, I was here in the U.S. We had people from 6 different countries that were a part of that Alpha. And it was incredible to watch the friendships form online together. So certainly there's ways to do that. And there's also, if somebody did want to go through Alpha individually, just by themselves, they could get a copy of a book, Exploring Faith, with Nikki Gumbel, and they'd be able to read that. So that contains all the content of the Alpha course, and I think there's ways, to be able to watch the Alpha videos as well. But really, the best experience of Alpha, you just can't beat sitting around a table with someone else, hearing their story, getting to know them, and exploring faith together.
John Wentz, you are a great ambassador for Jesus. Keep up the great, great work.
Thank you so much, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.
Believe in yourself.